worship, worship, and the glory of God coming in worship. And I hope that you're gaining some insight into this. Like I said earlier, we've been participating in praise and worship ever since the foundation of this church. And I really don't believe that praise and worship is that big an issue in our church. It never has been. It has been in a lot of churches. In fact, praise and worship has made a lot of gain through the past many years in churches, you know, because people, it was something different, and something about Christians that don't like anything different. Amen? But we just had one of the greatest worship services that we've had, you know, and we need to keep pressing in and seeing, you know, the presence of God come and Him, God moving, not just in this church, but in your individual life, in this church and outside this church. So we need to catch a revelation of what true worship is and how God is working in worship. Now, there may be some in this room, I don't know. This is your business. This is between you and God. But you still may just think, well, all y'all are doing is singing songs and you sing too many. And I've had people tell me that before in the past. You know, you sure sing a lot of songs. Don't you think we ought to just sing three and get into the message? And I tell them, no, we're not that kind of church. We're not. Some, you know, are uncomfortable in praise and worship. Well, you know, if you're uncomfortable, get in God's presence more and you won't be uncomfortable. You'll find your place of comfort. And that's all God wants to do. He just wants you to learn how to be in His presence. And one of the fastest ways to get there is through praise and worship. And, you know, we have people that come in and leave because they don't like the lifting of the hands. They don't, you know, like shouting, even though we don't shout much in this church, but we can if we want to, all right? And the same thing with dancing. There's not many people who dance in this church, but let me tell you, you have the freedom to dance in this church. We give you the same freedom that we give the Spirit of God in this church. So, you know, we're not talking disruption. We're talking about worshiping and praising God, okay? And so, you know, we want to have this freedom in this church to just be able to honor God in everything that we do. So the best way to describe all of these things that I just shared with you is to tag them as hang-ups. Hang-ups. You see, hang-ups are the things, are the opposition developed by the flesh. Our flesh doesn't like lifting our hands. Our flesh doesn't like dancing. But yet we'll go to a club and dance someplace all night long, you know. But when it comes to dancing before the Lord, oh, you know, we can't do that. Yes, we can. And let me tell you, God honors that. And God loves it. God loves the dance. And you know, think about it. God created the beat. God created the beat. And doesn't make any difference what the beat is. It's music in His ears. Amen? And so then we take the music that God has given us, and that's how we create the praise and the worship. And God loves praise and worship. Now, we know that God's presence comes, but we feel, or many feel, uncomfortable in praise and worship for a multitude of reasons. And you know, all I can answer that is making this one statement that Jesus made. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21. How many of you know that Jesus had a lot of wisdom? Yeah. Where did His wisdom come from? The Father. Amen. All right, Jesus is speaking here, and after the disciples ask Him a question. Luke 21, verse 7. Jesus And the disciples asked Jesus, saying, "Master, when shall these things come to pass?" What they're asking him about is the end times. How are we going to know when the end times are here? And that's what they asked next. What sign will there be when these things come to pass? Now notice that this is a singular noun. What sign? It's not plural. And I went and checked it in the Greek, and it's not plural in the Greek. It's one sign. What is there one sign, Jesus, so that we're going to know absolutely that the end times are here? And Jesus answered them, "Take heed that you are not deceived." Take heed that you are not deceived. Now, the disciples were asking about the end times, but I believe what Jesus declared here was a word of wisdom from the Father. And it makes a broad statement, not just to the disciples of that time, not just to the Christian Jews at that time, but it makes a statement to every Christian down through history. Even today, it's making a loud declaration to you and I. And this is one sign that we can see and know that things are not lining up with heaven. It's when we allow ourselves to be deceived. This is a spirit of deception. A spirit of deception. And we need to learn how to recognize that on a personal level. Not just a corporate level, but on a personal level. And determine by the Word of God when and when not we are being deceived. So we're being deceived about praise and worship. Do you think that's true? You see, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, you know, where they're saying, well, you know, this thing about the glory coming. Let me tell you, God has been prophesying that for years before Jesus ever came, that the glory of God was going to come and the knowledge of His glory was going to come and fill the earth. And God was going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. That's Old Testament and New Testament. And so this is reality. We have come to a level in time itself. We've come to a season in God where God is pouring out His glory in an awesome way. The Old Testament defines it as the former and the latter rain. And we're in a process, we're in a move of God right now that we need to wake up and be a part of. This is not a deception. This is prophetic words from God Himself being fulfilled in our very hearing. And so we need to start perking up our ears and listening to what God is saying and not to what the world is saying around us. Do you understand that? God is sovereign. And God has everything that God is going to do, He's already declared it. He's already put it in motion. And just because you and I don't believe it or you and I don't think we ought to be a part of that is not going to change God's Word. God's Word is true, and God is going to fulfill His Word. He says that every word that He has spoken will not turn back to Him void. It will be fulfilled. Now, look at Revelation chapter 19, and I'm going to show you why I'm making this statement. We're not being deceived. Revelation 19, and let's look at verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, and you that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Praise God. Amen. Now, God is bringing His kingdom here on this earth, and it's coming through praise and worship. And as His kingdom comes, so comes the glory of God. Now, the church, if they've been following the patterns of Jesus, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and we're to pray in the same way. So throughout the century since Jesus left this earth, the church has been praying for the kingdom to come. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is talking about the same prophetic words. We've been praying them into existence here on this earth as they've already been declared in heaven. I think you'll notice here, you know, for months now, I've been declaring the glory of God. Why? Because our mandate has to do with the glory of God. And if we don't know anything about the glory of God, how are we ever going to be able to declare it? How do we know what is entailed in God's glory? How do we know what God's glory is going to do when it gets here? And I'm telling you, if we've seen any glory, we've just seen a measure compared to what God is going to do. God is going to pour out his glory upon all flesh. Amen? Are you flesh? Are you made up of flesh? Okay. So you're going to get glorified. You're going to get some glory on you. Is that all right? Yeah, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Amen. All right. Churches are deceived about these things because we try to figure out these things with our little minds and the power of the flesh. And let me tell you, the church has been guilty of this for centuries. You know, we think we know better than God. But I'm telling you, God is changing the thought patterns of mankind. And God's will is going to be complete, and it's going to be finished, just like the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It will be done. Now, there's a verse that says that, or we just read a verse that says that the people of God calls to praise him, that God calls to praise him are those who fear him. Those who fear him. Do you fear God? Yeah, do you know what it means to fear God? Well, if you don't know, you need to find out. And how do you find out? You get in his word, and you'll find out how to fear God. You see, in God's kingdom, there are no boundaries. There are no boundaries. And this verse that we just read in Revelation, it says that all of us must praise him. All of us must praise him. There's no option in that verse. So it says all of us must praise him, both great and small. Now this is one realm where God is calling us to be equal. We all praise God in the same way, in the same intenseness. We're going to praise God in the same way. And then in response to God's call, John describes what he heard. And it says that he heard a voice of a great multitude. Now for years, I thought that was in heaven. But I'm telling you, it's not. It's going to be right here on this earth. There's going to be a great multitude that's going to begin to praise and worship God. Because the greatest instrument of praise that God has given you and I, or you and me, is our voice. And he's put a song in our heart. And he's put an intense desire in our hearts to worship him. And a part of that worship is that we learn to praise him, to praise him. So we need to learn how to lift up our voice unto God as a church. Learn to lift up your individual voice in your time, your personal time with the Lord. But when you come into church, don't hide it. Lift it up. Let it become strengthened. Don't accept a wimpy, weak voice when it comes to worshiping God. Get in there with the rest of them and let her rip. Amen? Let it go. Just praise God for all he's worth. And release the power in your voice and join in with others that are doing the same thing. Now that's what I want, one of the things that I feel like we need in our church. We've got some quiet praisers. Oh, you know, I just love God. You know, I just praise Him. Well, you know, if it's hard to hear it, he can't hear that. Amen? Isn't God worth raising your voice over? Isn't His greatness and His glory worth just shouting out the things of God that move you in your spirit and your heart? We need to learn how to do this. Release that power in your voice and begin to worship Him with everything that is within you. That's what the psalmist said. Praise Him with everything that is within you. Let it praise the Lord. Now, God gives us some direction in this. In different psalms, He talks about the voice. We're not going to turn to them. But in Psalm 26, verse 7, He says, with the voice of thanksgiving, praise the Lord. With the voice of thanksgiving. And then in Psalm 47, 1, verse 1, He says, praise the Lord with the voice of triumph. With the voice of triumph. Does that tell you anything? Does that tell you that we might just possibly have victory in our lives? Yeah, it tells me that. So why don't we start praising God with declaring the victory that we have in Christ Jesus instead of using our wimpy little voice that we don't want anybody to hear because they might hear that we're not on key. Yeah. Yeah, I've said that for years, you know. You know, no matter what's loosed in here, when it goes into God's ear, it's beautiful to Him. I mean, it's beautiful. So don't worry about, you know, whether you're on key or off key or no key or whatever. Just let it loose. Just begin to praise God with everything that you have. You see, when John heard the voice, this is the way that he described it. We read that just a minute ago. But the voice of a great multitude, the voice as of many waters, and the voice as a mighty thundering. Does that sound loud to you? Yeah. And so one, our praise is to rise until it thunders. And I liken to it thundering like Niagara Falls. We had the opportunity to go to Niagara Falls with Daniel and Valinda when we made a trip to Canada. And I tell you what, that's a lot of noise standing there listening to that. But I thought about that as I was reading this. You know, this is the way that we need to praise God. That falls doesn't hold anything back. All of the power is released when it's you know, coming over the edge of that formation of rock. And the same thing with us. When it rolls over our lips, it ought to be just as strong as it can be. Amen? And I understand that there are times in worship when we do, we get soft because we're enraptured with God, you know. I mean, we're just loving on Him, and we don't want to be shouting in His ear at that particular point in time. You know, when you were dating, you didn't shout in your mate's ear to get their attention. No. You whispered sweet things, okay? Well, there's a time for whispering sweet things to God, too, in worship, all right? So you know, kind of keep that straight. But a voice of praise is always a voice of victory. That's what praise is all about, with thanksgiving and praise and glorying God for who He is and for what He's doing in our lives. And that's why the enemy doesn't like praise. The enemy does everything that he can to stop praise, including convincing you that you can't sing. So if you want to gain a victory over the devil and put him under your feet, tell him that you're the best singer that God ever created and practice it. I mean, just let it loose and show everybody just how good God is. Okay? All right. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. As much melted wax is up here, I don't know if that's going to last till Christmas. Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I like that, continually. That means, you know, when we're having a praise and worship service, you need to get here. You need to be here. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever, when we're coming together to praise the Lord, you need to get here, because you are an important, vital part of the praise and worship that goes on to him. Again, let's go back to your voice. God loves your voice, so you need to bring your voice as quickly as you can to church when we're praising and worshiping, and get in on what God is doing. Amen? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. Now, this is an interesting concept of praise. This sounds like when we come to praise and we don't feel like it, or we've had a bad day or whatever, you know, it's just kind of like we just come in there and, you know, we're going to praise God, but it's going to be a sacrifice, you know. I'm just so tired, you know, I just can't hardly lift up my voice, and let alone dance or shout or lift my hands or whatever, you know. I just can't do that. Well, you know how Jesus would answer that statement? He would say, be not deceived. Be not deceived. The truth of this verse is in the term sacrifice. Sacrifice. When we use this term sacrifice, we use it as American Christians. We use it as whether we feel like praising or not. You know, we come to church and you know, our primary thought is, well, what's this going to cost me, you know? Am I going to have to get up? Can't I just sit here on my chair? Do I have to stand? Do I have to jump? Do I have to shout? Do I have to do any of that stuff? You know, after all, I'm tired. I'm a working man or a working woman. I've been working all day long, you know. And it's like we're the only person in the whole wide world that holds down a job and has a family to take care of. Well, God doesn't agree with you. You need to praise him in the midst of everything. Amen? But this word sacrifice, the Hebrew understanding of the word sacrifice is different than ours. The Jews had many faults, yes, but one of their faults was not complaining about what they had to offer God. Whatever they brought to God in offering or sacrifice was the very best. And the reason that they brought the very best is because God required the very best. If you had 10 animals, God wanted the one, but he wanted the very best one. Now, that ought to give you a hint as to what you need to do. God wants your best. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 19, the first part of that verse says this. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. I create the fruit of the lips. Now, this brings a whole new light to Hebrews chapter 13. If we are going to offer the sacrifice, and the sacrifice is the fruit of our lips, and if God creates the fruit of our lips, then it shouldn't take a great effort on our part to declare. Do you understand that? You've come, and God is going to give you whatever you need to praise and worship him. You just need to come. You just need to stand up and be a part instead of withholding yourself, holding back, thinking, well, you know, I'm not into this. Well, let me tell you, you better get into it if you're going to heaven, because in heaven, that's what it's going to be all about, is worshiping God. Can you imagine an eternity of worshiping God? Well, you better get used to it here on earth then. It's going to be a long time. But when we come into the house of God, we can say this, and I led y'all in it this morning. Lord, create praise within me. Just ask God. I mean, we ask God for everything else. So just ask him, Lord, create praise in me. Lord, create worship in me. And as you begin to ask God these things, you're going to begin to notice that phrases or words are going to start coming up from deep down inside of you. And then those are the ones that you declare in praise. I noticed something this morning in worship, and I said this is one of the better times of worship that we've had in a good while. But I noticed that there were declarations that people were making. Lord, you are great. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. But then we also had some that were coming out in the spirit realm. You see, it's okay to sing in the spirit. It's okay because the spirit of God connects with your spirit, and up out of you comes words that you don't even understand. But you're praising and you're worshiping God spirit to spirit. And you're not withholding it, you're releasing it. You're not saying, well, I'm going to, you know, just hide this down here so nobody will hear it. No, y'all were actually putting volume to it this morning. And that's what God wants. He wants to be able to hear and wants you to be able to be a part. And so this concept of singing in tongues is an important part of worshiping and praising God. So another description is that I can praise God in my own way. I've heard that since day one. Well, you know, I praise God in my own way. Well, how is that? Well, I don't want to talk about it, but I praise him in my own way. But you see, it's through the ministry of praise that we come to know God in ways that we've never known him before. If you've never sang in the Spirit, it's because you don't want to. Not because that God's not willing to teach you by the Spirit of God. And you see, we need to overcome and get beyond that. This is for God. This is for God who so loved you so much that he sent his son to die for your sin. This is for him. And he's not asking anything else in return from you other than that you praise him and that you worship him. I'd say that's a pretty fair trade, wouldn't you? The fruit of your lips, he even creates it himself so that you don't have to worry about what you're going to declare or how you're going to declare it. You see, in Revelation 19, again, when we say I can praise in my own way, it doesn't line up with Scripture. Revelation 19, a voice of a great multitude. You don't praise in your own way. We are to praise in unity. Everything that the church does and comes together in is supposed to be in unity. We are one in Christ Jesus. Now, praise is the prelude to worship that brings the glory. And this is important that we understand this. It's the prelude. It's the beginning. Praise is the starting point that we move from praise to worship to glory. We've been moving in this church from praise to worship, every now and then experiencing a little glory, but God has a greater glory. How many of you understand in the Scripture that God doesn't just come to glory and stop? Scripture says that God will take you from glory to glory, which means from one measure of glory to a greater measure of glory, and it never stops. We're the one that stops when we don't participate. God wants to take us from glory to glory. And it's in the glory realm. It's in the glory realm that we see the wondrous things that God does. How about, you know, how many of y'all would like to see God manifest some things in this church? Huh? How many of y'all ever seen an angel? There's angels in this room right now. That's some of you. Okay. Time to go back to another church. No, they're here. We went over this lesson several weeks ago. Angels are designed by God to minister unto the sons of, or the heirs of salvation. Do you think that they're going to just be sitting around in the lounge up there in heaven waiting for you to die and come up there so they can minister unto you? No. They are ministering unto you right now. Right where you're at, right where you're sitting, there's an angel that's assigned to you that's ministering unto you right now. And I told you several weeks ago that Jesus, and I showed it to you in Scripture, Jesus, when we are worshiping God, is present in His body. He's in the room. And He's declaring the names of God. And then it says He even sings to the Father Himself. Well, my word, if Jesus can sing to the Father, don't you think we might be able to sing to Him too? You know? I mean, this is the Son of God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But somehow in the omnipotence of God, He's everywhere. He's everywhere, just like the Father. And He could be in this church and that church and that church and one in China and one in Russia. He's everywhere, just like the Spirit of God. You know, we believe so many things as fleshly people, but yet we have such trouble believing the things of the kingdom of God. When it's the things of the kingdom that are ours, we don't own everything in this world. Well, in one sense we do, but not in a possessive sense. But let me tell you, everything in the kingdom belongs to you if you're a born-again child of God. So we need to start acting like at least that we want to receive what God is here offering to us every time we come together. Now, one of the most important elements or ingredients to having the glory is unity. You and I coming together in agreement that we are going to worship, that we are going to seek God spirit to spirit. And when we do that, when we come into worship, we're going to see God move in such a way that we've never seen before. We can be singing the same songs and if we were dancing, even dancing the same dance and not be in one spirit. You see, there's so much flesh that is still in the church. I've seen people dancing before the Lord, I mean just flowing with the Spirit of God. And then I've seen others that they dance the same dance in church that they dance in the disco. You know, there's nothing about what they were doing is spiritual. It was all flesh. And I'm telling you right now, God wants the flesh out of the church. All of it. I mean, God will not abide with the flesh. He will not. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to come into unity in this, because this is a realm that we can join our spirits together and bring honor and glory to God, our Father. And you see, the glory doesn't come until we are in one spirit. When oneness of spirit comes forth, then unity will immediately bring the glory. The unified body of Christ will bring the glory. And your desire for the glory makes you willing to lay aside all of the petty little issues that you fought for in the past and things that really are just meaningless as far as eternity is concerned. And if at any given time in a service everyone is focused on the Lord then that's unity. And we used to sing a song that declared this truth. One of the verses went like this: just forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Think about that. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. If we have 50 people here in the room, and all 50 of us decide that we're going to forget about ourselves and we're going to concentrate on Him and worship Him, then God's glory will come. Will you guarantee that, Pastor? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. You see, when we concentrate on Him, then we're not focused on calling attention to ourselves. I've seen this so many times through the years, and sometimes it gets downright disgusting. But there's still an element that God honors. And I want to see God honor the whole church. You know, I want us to get rid of all this fleshly stuff and just come in oneness of spirit. Oneness of spirit. Many individuals in history have found the glory through individual praise and worship. And that's perfect. That's a part that God wants you to join in. I mean, God wants you to attain that level in Him. But now God is drawing whole congregations into experiencing His glory. And that's something that's different. I'm not going to say it hasn't been going on for a while, because it has, probably for about 20 years. But the revelation of it is becoming greater and stronger right now. And whole churches are going to begin to see the glory cloud of God descend into their room. We're going to see the presence and the power of the Spirit of God manifest far beyond what we've ever seen Him manifest before. This is the day in which all flesh will see it together. I'm not talking about the realm of the flesh. I'm just talking about humans. Okay? We as human beings will see the glory come. And there's nothing more wonderful than the glory being revealed collectively through the entire congregation. That's awesome when we do that. When we learn how to flow together, we'll learn how to flow higher and higher in God's glory. And the higher we get in the glory, the greater the glory becomes. And God is reaching and teaching to us how to do it. How to do it. The psalmist in Psalm 107, let's look at this. Psalm 107, verse 31. Found it? Okay. Psalm 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. This is exactly what I'm talking about. God thought about it long time ago. Amen. And I have a desire for this church. And as a pastor, I can have desires for the church. And I pray that you'll join me in this desire. I want the glory of God to be so manifested in the midst of River of Life Church, in the people who make up River of Life Church, that we will not be able to contain the glory in this house. We will not be able to contain it in our personal lives, that it's going to become an outflowing of God's glory. And you see, I can desire this because this is God's desire. This is what God wants to do. And if we will accept it, God is helping us to know how to praise Him, how to worship Him, how to adore Him until the glory of God is revealed. He's teaching us by His Holy Spirit. And at least the very least thing we can do is accept it and begin to put it into the practice that we need to see it happen. Amen? No amen. Oh, that's dangerous. That should have been a loud amen right there. One last thought. In the worship realm, we're more conscious of God's quality of love. In the worship realm. When we were singing a while ago, the love song to God, couldn't you just really feel God's love being poured out? I mean, it's awesome the way that He does. But in the glory realm, we are going to be more aware or more conscious of His holiness. And that's what the churches need. We know the love of God because of Christ Jesus, but we don't know the holiness of God. And that's what God wants to reveal in the church in this hour. The angels in heaven. Scripture says that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of course there's no time up there, but so we can understand it, they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Continually. Continually. And this is going on in eternity. Never began, and it'll never end. It's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah 6:3 says, "If one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is filled with your glory." The whole earth is filled with your glory. We need to be a part of this. We need to be a part of this. And we're going to be a part of this. Amen. Now, did you put that song in, "We Have Come Into His House"? Okay, we're going to sing that.